This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
What I see in 2018, the year I see the manifestation of His presence, the manifestation of His presence. As we continue with what God is leading us into in this new year, what I see is the manifestation of the presence of God in our lives individually and corporately as a body of Christ. Psalm 22, verse 3. You are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. To flow in the supernatural, that's a term that's much used and become a cliche, but it is God's super on our natural. It is Him, God, doing what only God can do. Only what God can do. And to flow in the supernatural, one of the essential practices that we're going to have to get used to here in our private lives and in our corporate setting, is to offer God thanksgiving, to offer God praise, to offer God worship. And I want to discuss that this morning. In the above verse that I just quoted, the word praises, you are enthroned on the praises of Israel. The word praises is translated from the Hebrew word tehillah, which means praise or a hymn or a song of praise. It indicates a joyful song that praises the powerful deeds of our Lord. Another word in that verse is the word enthroned, which is translated from the Hebrew word yashah, meaning to dwell, to sit down, to remain, to stay. It also literally meant in the Old Testament to marry. And what God is saying is that I am manifest in such a way that I come and I manifest and I stay. I sit down. I dwell with you. You are married to my presence. You are married to... How many of you know that God is omnipresent? He's everywhere in the world. But there's a big difference between Him being in the world and manifesting where two or three are gathered together in His name. When He manifests, things change. When you're in the presence of God, you are changed. When you're in the glory of God, it doesn't matter whether you have faith or not. God does what He does sovereignly, and miracles take place for people who don't even believe they can get a miracle. Oh, somebody should have said amen right there. There are people that are in our services that when the glory of the Lord has begun to settle in and manifest in our services, that their bodies are being healed. And they go home and they say, I can't believe I got healed. So it couldn't have been their faith. It is the glory of the Lord. You know what the difference between the anointing of God, the presence of God that moves through our anointing and our gifts, what the difference between that and the glory is when I'm anointed and the power of God flows through me to you, then that is one type of His presence and His healing ability, His delivering ability. But it involves us. It involves my faith. It involves your faith. But when the glory of the Lord is present, things happen people aren't even looking for. Somebody say amen. Because God wants to heal and bless His people. Turn me down just a little bit, please. I could hear a little too much of myself. God wants to do more than just pay us a visit. He wants to stay, to get comfortable, and to govern His people who rejoice in His victories. An experience of God's presence can occur only after thanksgiving, praise, and worship has been offered. Only when we build Him a throne will He be enthroned or manifest. What is His manifest presence? It is His demonstration of who He is. He is healing. He is love. He is deliverance. He is peace. Somebody say amen. When He manifests, He demonstrates His power, His love, His actions, His miracles, signs, and wonders. Prayer, praise, and worship, they're all one and the same. The intercession, the prayer, and the worship edify God's throne and produce supernatural manifestations that demonstrate His power and His glory. What I am doing here this morning is endeavoring to introduce into the atmosphere the knowledge and the faith and the belief that as we praise Him, as we thank Him, and as we worship Him, He will come and manifest His power among us. Turn me down a little bit more, please. Many believers think that praying means spelling out a list of petitions or prayer requests. And that's awesome for God to answer. And that's great. But that's not what all prayer is. The truth is that thanksgiving, praise, and worship are central aspects of prayer, without which we will never have full access to all God wants to give us. In other words, when Jesus came, how many of you believe Jesus prayed? But when He prayed, He involved thanksgiving to the Father. He gave praise for God's awesome works, and He worshiped the Father. And the Bible says that the Father is looking for people in this day and age that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. It involves the whole of your being. It involves the full attention that you can give to God. Let me share this with you. We enter into His gates with thanksgiving. We enter into His courts with praise. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Let's turn there now. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. When we enter into His gates with thanksgiving, enter into His courts with praise, then we move into the presence of the Lord. And the Word teaches that we must always give thanks for everything and that our petitions must always be accompanied with thanksgiving. Jesus always was giving thanks to the Father. Jesus, when He performed miracles, He would give thanks to the Father. Jesus gave thanks to the Father before He multiplied the loaves and the fishes to feed the multitude. He lifted up the bread. There was a need. And thanksgiving to the Father is what He gave. And then the fishes and the loaves begin to multiply. What are you saying, Terry? If you begin to thank God and keep your eyes totally upon Jesus and not on your problem, when you thank Him like He thanked the Father, there were thousands of people there that needed provision, but He didn't get His eyes on the need. He got His eyes on the need giver. He got His eyes on the one who would meet the need. And He had full confidence, Father, I thank You. And when He began to thank Him and got His whole mind on the Father, not on the needs began to be met. Let me suggest something to you. When we're coming here together, the goal of this service is for you and I to get our mind off of each other and what each other thinks about each other and off of our problems and off of our circumstances and get our minds on Him and get our spirits trained towards Him and to get our emotions trained towards Him and to get our will lost in His. Then, God can manifest. What is manifestation? When God manifests, only good things happen. Hallelujah. Does anybody here need something good to happen to you today? Is anybody tired of the status quo? Oh, I don't think you got it. Is anybody tired of waiting for your miracles to come? Does anybody want more of what God has? Because what you've got is not enough. And what God has is more than enough. And you want more of what God's got plenty of. I'm not satisfied with status quo. I'm not satisfied with, and you know what? It's not about some people come to church and they just get a little bit of God and they go home and then they live carnal lives. Christian con carnies, I call them. Okay. But it's also more than just a preacher who wants his church to grow and wants to make a name for himself. I want Jesus because in his presence, I lose myself and I find myself at the same time. I don't care how many people come to my church. I want his presence in my life. I am a presence junkie. I am a presence addict. I'd rather be in his presence than eat, and I love to eat. To be honest with you, there are times when I didn't want his presence more than I wanted pornography. I didn't want his presence more than I wanted to flirt, although I really didn't flirt. I wasn't that type. I didn't have the guts to flirt. Are you listening? You fill in the blanks. What did you want more of more than you wanted him? The Lord is saying to us, you can't get rid of those fleshly wants all by yourself. You need my word, but you need my presence. You need my word, you need my fellowship, you need my presence. And I promise you, if I get past the flesh and move on into him, I don't look back, I look up. Let me say it another way. When I get in his presence, I don't want the world. And we need to learn to practice his presence. Practicing his presence. Brother Lawrence wrote a book, Practicing His Presence, 300 or 400 years ago. He worked in a kitchen, and he was a monk. And out of that job that he hated working in the kitchen. And yet he turned his heart and his eyes and his soul, his emotions, his will, his desires, he turned them towards God to where that every few minutes he began to acknowledge the presence of God. He began to practice moving towards God rather than just this mundane work that I hate. And he got his heart and his eyes on Jesus, and the presence of God filled his life. He began to write about what joy he began to have as he moved from the natural into the supernatural. Somebody say amen. You say, you can't live in the supernatural. Why not? Why can't I live more in him than I am in the flesh? Why can't I live? I'm not talking about being out of an out-of-body experience. I'm talking about I'm getting my mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Set your mind. God would not have told us to set our minds if we couldn't set our minds on things that are above. Say, above the flesh. Say, above the soul. Above the natural. Above the circumstances. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In him I live, I move, and I have my being. What does that mean? It means I can be in him more than I'm out of him. I can be into him more than I'm into my circumstances. Are you listening? Every few moments, he would begin to acknowledge God. He says, it was work. It was work. Because the flesh pulls you constantly. Circumstances pull you back into the depression, into the what am I going to do? But the Lord says, you were never going to do it by yourselves. And as he began to write what God was giving him, as he moved out of the flesh and into the presence of God, practicing the presence of God. When I say out of the flesh, I mean not just living in the soulish realm, my mind, my thoughts, my emotions. Somebody say amen. But his thoughts, his heart, his joy, his overcoming abilities, his ability to change you while your circumstance stays the same. As he began to do that, people began to come all over the country because he began to write, and they published him. And he changed everything around him because he practiced the presence of God. It is possible to live beyond and go beyond the thresholds of where you are now, where you suffer because of a total lack of everything God intended you to have, both in your outlook, in your disposition, in your attitude, and therefore your behavior. And therefore, how many of you understand that when I begin to change, things begin to change? You can change your circumstances as God begins to live through you. Because everywhere Jesus went, he went about and doing good things. All of this ability to see God in your life starts entering to his gates with thanksgiving, entering to his courts with praise, entering into the presence and the anointings and the abilities. The supernatural ability is what the anointing is. It is the Holy Spirit on your life. It is his super on your natural. How do you explain that the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit of God, comes upon us, works through me, and heals you? He preaches through me and heals your soul. The anointing is transferable. The anointing is tangible. Are you listening? But then we move beyond the anointing and we go into the glory of God. Everybody say there's more. How many of you believe in your heart there's more to God than you've received yet? How many believe there's more joy and there's more power? How many believe there's more anointing? How many of you'd like to walk in the glory of the Lord? I will enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Jesus says, you begin with thanksgiving, thanking him. The thanks of God, the thanks towards God. The word teaches that we must always give thanks for everything and that our petitions must always be accompanied by thanksgiving. Make your prayers and your petitions known with thanksgiving, the Bible says. Why? Because when you've got a natural need, you can't meet it in the natural. You're going to the supernatural. And how do you enter into the supernatural? Through thanksgiving. Jesus was our example. Jesus gave thanks to the Father before he multiplied the loaves and the fishes to feed the thousands. He lifted up the bread and the fish. He says, Father, I thank you because I'm acknowledging you and getting my heart and my mind upon you, not on the needs, but upon you. And the multiplied fish and the multiplied bread fed thousands. Do you understand? When you get your mind on him, God can multiply your provisions. If you believe that, say amen. And I love, in John, the 11th chapter, chapter 11, verses 40 through 44, Jesus gave thanks to the Father before raising Lazarus from the dead. Verse 40, Jesus responded, didn't I tell you, speaking to Martha, that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. Look at this. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of all those people standing here so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come forth. Come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. But Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Two things here. Jesus said, the verse part of that verse 40, he says, Martha, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you'd see the glory? And she had said it in another passage, yes, Lord, I know we're going to see your glory, your resurrection power at the end time. At your, I believe you are the Christ. I believe you will raise from the dead. But he wasn't talking about then. He was saying, I bring my glory with me now. I'm with you now. I am the glory. And if I'm here, Lazarus can live again. Everybody say now. The glory is for today. The presence is for today. The manifestation is for today. And then he said this. He says, Father, he says, I thank you for what I'm going to do. And I'm, Father, I know you always hear me, but I'm thanking you for their sake. How come? Now, two things there. Number one, Jesus wasn't worried of whether or not the Father was going to respond to him. He says, you always hear me. So he came with expectation. So what is thanks? Thanks is faith and expectation in action. When I thank God, I'm thanking him because I know he's going to do what I'm asking him to do.
When I thank God, it's because I know He's the one who's going to supply the need. I'm thanking Him. It puts all the onus off of me and puts all the praise towards Him. And to the one whom we praise lands the responsibility to respond. How many believe God always responds to faith? God always responds to faith, and thanksgiving is the first step in faith. Why? Because I'm thanking Him. I'm believing in Him. Jesus says, I know you always answer my prayers. That's expectation. Say expectation. Thanks involves expectation. Thanks involves faith. God responds to faith. And anything that you need deliverance for, anything that you need a new beginning for, anything that's dead in your life that needs to rise again, you need to begin with thanksgiving. Because when he thanked God, Lazarus came forth. And what God's desire is to loose you and let you go and be free. Say, loose me and let me go. In every area of your life where you're bound, I want you to thank God and begin to thank God that you're free. Father, I thank you. I know you always hear me. Lord, loose me and let me go. The things that are dead in my finances, the things that are dead in my marriage, the things that are dead in my body, the things that are dead in my career. Father, I thank you. I know you always hear me. And I praise you that you'll loose me and set me free. And you'll cause me to live again. Raise up these things. Raise up my finances. Raise up my healing body. Raise up, Lord, my marriage. Raise up my career. Raise up, Lord, my relationships. Raise them from the dead. Those things that are dead, I call them alive. And I thank you, Father, because I know you always hear me. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and begin to thank him for something in your life that is dead, that you know God wants to live again. Father, I thank you. Go ahead, begin to thank him out loud. I thank you. Father, I thank you. I know you always hear me. I know you always deliver me. I know you always set me free. I know, Lord, that you hear my prayers. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving is a portal into miracles. Gratitude and thanksgiving are the keys to loosening God's supernatural power. They are expressions of our love for Him. To love Him is to express faith in Him, and faith works by love. Number two is praise. In praise, we recognize God's greatness and amazing works. Praise is this. It's the proclamation and the declaration of His awesome works of grace and love towards His people. What he's saying? It's praising him for what he's already done. Boy, you folks, you must not have had God answer your prayers. God must not have done very much for you. Because I'll tell you what, anytime I say praising him for what he's already done, people's hearts ought to rise up and say, yes, Lord, thank you for healing my body. Thank you for causing my babies to be whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving me my new home. Thank you, Lord, for healing my marriage. Thank you. Thank you. I praise you. I praise you for what you've done and what you're doing and what you're going to do. We proclaim his wondrous works through music, through singing, through dancing, through shouts, through uplifted hands. To praise is to exalt God in a brilliant, even extravagant celebration that includes even powerful sounds that border on the ridiculous. Thursday night, we had hundreds of kids in here, hundreds of college age and teenage, high school age people in here. And there was a 49er here. And what blessed me is that the more we praise God, the more he praised God. His mother is a worship leader in the church that he grew up in. And he worshiped God. And the praise bordered on ridiculous. It wasn't as ridiculous as it could be because, listen, when you go to a 49er game or you go to a Raider game, people are ridiculous in their praise. Ridiculous, taking their shirts off, painting themselves red and gold or black and white. Thank God, they ought to paint it all black and hide that stuff. The guys I'm talking about.
There's nothing worse than to see Redskin fans out there with their pig hats on, you know, and their bare chest covered with red, and it's ugly. Ridiculous praise. Ridiculous praise? How ridiculous is it when you were deaf and now you can hear? How ridiculous is it when you jumped for joy because you were blind and now you can see? How ridiculous is it when you were bound and lost and worthless and yet you're delivered, you're free, and you're worth much? How ridiculous is it to praise the name of your God? I praise him because here's what I need you to understand. Praise is the entrance to more miracles. Biblically speaking, praise is a celebration that breaks through every barrier, making it able to penetrate even a hostile environment. I said a lot right there. Praise is a weapon that can destroy your enemy. Praise can break through a hostile environment, penetrate it, destroy it, take it down, and push you through it and gain victory. Jericho, surrounded by the people of God, the impregnable city. The seventh time around, Joshua 6, verses 16 and 20, read it with me. The seventh time around, as the priests surrounded the long blast on their horns. The seventh time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, shout! For the Lord has given you the city. Say shout. What's in a shout? Why do we come on Thursday night and shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph? Shout to the Lord with a voice of praise. How come I get in my room when I hear that a friend of mine that's having a brain scan and it's turned out perfectly whole and well? Why do I dance? Why do I shout? Because I am full of praise. But what's awesome is when we didn't know whether he was well, I still shout, I still dance, I still penetrate the darkness with the shout of praise that is able to destroy the hostile environment. Oh, somebody help me. Shout of praise is able to destroy the hostile environment that tries to take your life from you. I didn't say it. God could have said whisper. But there's times when he says, shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph. And we see this at Jericho. When the trumpet sounded, verse 20, the army shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took that city. They took that city. To shout. In the Hebrew, in both places and in other places in the scripture, it's translated ruah. The Hebrew word means it's a primitive root to mar. What is when something is marred? It's destroyed. It's torn down. The walls that separate you from your spirit touching the Spirit of God, the walls that separate you from your family, the walls that separate you from your freedom and your liberty need to be shouted down and marred and destroyed by the shout of the Lord and the faith that his power can move through your voice. It's time to do something about the walls that impregnate, that cause us to be imprisoned. I'm through being in prison. Oh, I don't think you got it. I'm through being in prison. I'm through having to mute my mouth and just take it. No, I don't have to take it anymore. I'm going to shout to that wall. I'm going to praise. Well, how do you know shout means praise? Let me tell you. Here's what the rest of it means. Tomorrow, especially by breaking. Say breakthrough. Are you getting this? A shout means to split the ears with a sound, a shout for alarm or joy. Say joy. to blow an alarm, to cry out, to destroy something by making a joyful noise. Shout for joy, it says. Sound an alarm in triumph. If I'm looking at a wall and it's keeping me from freedom, from liberty, from healing, I need to shout at that wall in triumph while I'm still sick. They walked around those walls for 7 days, and the last time they walked around the wall 7 times on the 7th day. But then the Lord says, the day has come for jubilee. The day has come for you to shout to the wall. You don't need to talk about your mountain. You need to shout at your mountains. Second Chronicles 20, verse 22 through 26, at the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting amongst themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Mount Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. On the 4th day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, or Barakah. Barakah means praise. Barakah means blessing. They gathered in the Valley of Praise. They gathered in the Valley of Praise, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. It is still called the Valley of Blessing or Praise to this day. Judah was surrounded by enemies. They were walled about. There was no hope. But the Lord said, this day you will not have to fight on your own. You go out and you stand before those armies. You've sought me with fasting and prayer. You've hungered and thirsted for righteousness. You've reminded me of who I am and who I said I would be, and that I would never leave you and never forsake you. You reminded me through your praise and your thanks. You reminded me and thanked me for my words in the past that I said I would never let you be destroyed if you would humble yourselves and praise my name. Somebody say amen. If you will humble yourselves and pray, means I start by thanking him for what he's already said, thanking him for what he's already done, praising him for what he's already said, praising him for what he's already done. Are you hearing me today? And then he says, shout to the Lord, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Surrounded by death, they praise the name of the Lord for his mercy that would endure through this heartache and this hardship. And the enemy came down and destroyed themselves because the angels of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him, and he delivers them. Praise. They got together in the valley. They went over the dead corpses and took all of the wealth and riches that were upon their dead bodies. And they praise God. In the valley of praise, there are spoils you can't even imagine. Praise, thanksgiving, and worship. Worship. I don't have time to do worship today. I have time to worship. I just don't have time to teach you about worship. But in worship, we recognize God's majesty. We recognize his presence. We recognize and hunger for his glory. The Hebrew word for worship is shakah, which means to prostrate oneself in homage
to God, to bow down. Hallelujah.
In the New Testament, the Greek word for worship is proskuneo.
When I have thanked Him, when I have entered in through that gate,
the gate really is the gate to the tabernacle in the Old Testament,
headed towards the holy place.
Forgiveness of sins is at the altar. The washing of the water of the word is at the laver.
Then we go into the holy place, and finally into the holy of holies. What was that? That was the literal dwelling place of the presence of God, where the glory dwelt.
You see, when you're thanking God, when you're getting forgiveness of sins and thanking Him that you're made cleansed and whole, and then you're washing yourself with the washing of the water of the word to renew your mind. See, when you get into the word, that tells you what God's promised you. When you get into the word, that tells you He's forgiven you. When you get into the word, that tells you that He never holds grudges against you. That tells you that He never remembers your sin anymore. That tells you that He has made you righteous. He has made you holy, so that you don't have to worry about going into the holy place and being struck dead because you've got sin. No, He doesn't see your robe of righteousness. He sees His Son's robe of righteousness. When I get into that holy place, oh, I don't have to shout anymore. I see Him like the four creatures that are surrounding the throne of God. And I'm so overwhelmed with His glory and His beauty and His love. Oh, the love. Oh, the love. Oh, I don't know about you. I can go to the God and have a revelation of who He is because I can praise Him. How come? Because I know He loves me. Does anybody else know He loves you today? So you can go in to, you can never get more glory than you have revelation of. But I've got a revelation of His love. So I can go where the glory is. I don't know if you got that. I have a revelation of His love, so I can go where the glory is. His love brings me into His glory. If you don't know Him, you can't be in His presence. Manifest presence. And understand the power and the beauty and the potential and the fulfillment and the contentedness and the never needing anything but Him-ness. Oh, it's awesome. Do you understand what I'm saying? When I'm in His presence, I'm not afraid. Huh? Why wouldn't you want to live there? Proskuneo. You know what the word means? It means to kiss. It also means a dog. I couldn't understand that. Quan is dog, and then, you know, to kiss, cuneo. I got a little pup at home. He lives for the day, the moment that me or Karen come home. When I get in there, I get out of my car, he starts yelping in the garage. I take him out and put him in the backyard. He starts running around the backyard. Running around the backyard. He comes up to me. You know how they get on? I got a, he's a huge dog. He's about that big. He's a killer. But he loves me. Everybody else is afraid of him. Not much. He'll get up on his little hind legs and he just paws at my legs. Are you listening? And then he can't stand it anymore. He'll start running around the yard again. Because he's so happy that Daddy's come home.
Yes.
He wants my fellowship. And I don't care what I do to him. He just keeps coming back for more. Until Karen comes home, then I'm nothing. He just goes right to her. In fact, I'll go up and I'll hug her. And he'll go, arr! I said, shut up, I knew her first.
the typical picture is the little pup going around. Come here. Come here. You knew this was going to happen, didn't you? The little pup that goes around and lays at his master's feet, just kissing his feet. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Just getting this close. Now, your cat, forget it. They're not. They're devils. I'm sorry, cat lovers. Don't send me no. I had two or three cats. I'll take a dog any day. Because that little guy, he'll love on me. The little dog comes around the feet and just gets as close as he can. And it just kisses the feet, literally, of the master. Proskuneo. Thank you. When you lay before him, and you kiss his feet because he's the father who loved you when nobody loves you. He's the one you can't wait to get in the presence of, because when you're in daddy's house, nothing is ever lacking. He'll protect me. Oh, hear me. He'll heal me. He'll take care of me. He forgives me. He restores me. He feeds me. He protects me. He gives me shelter. He gives me hope. He's my God. He's my Father. He's my Master. I worship you. Worship you. When we come into this house, may it be a place where we kiss the feet of our Father, because that's when he manifests. Did you get it? When we come into this house, I am asking you to begin to thank him before you ever walk in. You'll have to fight to get through everything that's on your mind. The car in front of you, you wish your horn was a shotgun. It's making you later than you need to be. The bills that aren't paid. Just get your mind on him. Because when we get our minds on him, everything else just melts away. My problems won't immediately change, perhaps, but I will change. And I'll say, Father, I thank you because I know you always hear my prayers. I'll shout at the walls before they come down, because I know that in your presence, we can pierce the darkness and tear down that wall. Tell it. Holy is your name, O Lord. Now we're going to worship, and I'm just going to have you sit. And then the kids are going to come, and they're going to make an announcement. But I got 5 minutes, and we'll take 5 minutes more. And I want you to just worship. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit,
Lord of glory, Jesus,
Jesus,
we want to know you, we want more of your presence,
get your mind on him, nothing else,
we want more of your power, we want more of your glory, we want to know you, we want more.
We want
to know.
Sing it again. We want more.
We want.
in this place now, in this attitude, he will reveal himself and speak to you. Kissing his feet, he will reveal himself. He'll talk to you. And Abram laid before God in worship, and God spoke to him, the scripture said. You see, this is more than a corporate setting, isn't it? It's where you get with God alone, and he speaks to you. Just one word. Just one word. One thought can change your life forever. Suicide drops and disintegrates as you lay in his presence. The presence of God that's here now is awesome, but it's not useful unless we act on it. When he speaks to you, do what he tells you. What he gives you permission to do, get up and do it. What he frees you from, you'll sin no more. Oh, Lord, I worship you. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't want to leave. Go ahead. He'll go with you. I never have to leave his presence. I'm going to practice his presence. Yeah, well, you've got this bill and you got that. Oh, Lord, no, no, no. You know what? Jesus, you'll supply all my needs. Yeah, but you got that pain down there and you know it's going to kill you in 3 days. No, I'm the healed of the Lord. For the Lord sets you free. You're free indeed. And no weapon, though it be formed against me, will ever be able to prosper. My God shall supply all my needs. Thank you, Jesus. Who's that man talking to himself? Well, he must be on his phone. No, I don't need a phone. He lives in me. He talks with me. In him I live. In him I move. In him I have my being. Amen. Say, I'm going to walk in his presence. I'm going to live in his presence. I want the glory. Next time you come to this house, you thank him before you get here. You praise him for what he's already done. You shout to your mountain when you get here. We'll thank him, we'll praise him, and we'll shout. And then we'll kiss his feet. And the glory is coming. No, 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 no. I'm tired of that. There's no faith in that. The glory's here. Let's give him victory. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.